businesses that helped us for the Sweetheart Banquet. I called them out to you last Sunday. I'll put them on the board. Barbara will put them on the board after the service. She won't forget it. So I'll let Barbara do that on the board in the back so you can thank those businesses when you see them. Well, I think probably today, at least we'll introduce the message, and we may do like we did a couple of Sundays ago. We may just introduce it, and then when we have a full congregation here next Sunday, I'll deal with it in more depth. We are talking about the priorities of Jesus. In this particular, this one is, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus is number one priority. And when I get down into it a little bit, you'll understand maybe kind of why I feel that way. On January the 20th, I introduced the subject to you, and you'll notice in our bulletin, and it'll be in our bulletin all year, and as we deal with the priorities of Jesus, they will be included in the bulletin and the newsletter as well all year long to keep them in our focus. But as we began this year, right after the State of the Church message that I gave you, I introduced you to our emphasis for the year of 2013. They're listed on the back of your bulletin. Number one is that our guiding principle this year is making Jesus' priorities ours. And I'm going to deal with those priorities, I think, rather than one a month or whatever. I'm just going to deal with them as sequentially as a series until I get through with them. But as we deal with them, they're going to be incorporated in our printed literature so that you'll see them, and they'll be before you. Our other two emphases for the year was focusing on missions and our missionary moment for today. And I failed to mention it during our prayer time, but I want you to notice, please, it's on the back of the bulletin right above our little reminder there. It's a North Carolina church planter, and the name of that church planter is Sunday Oguwabi. They are at the First International Chapel in Raleigh, sponsored by our Home Mission Board and our North Carolina Baptist Mission. So, and then our final goal, our focus, our area of emphasis for 2013 is a 100% increase in our attendance in our church for this year. Well, on our way towards that, so continue to pray with me. But today, I want to go back, and now that the first of the year is kind of over and things are kind of getting settled down a little bit, I want us to, I want to begin our series today, or continue our series on the priorities of Jesus that was introduced to you on January the 20th. In that introductory message, we established the fact that the Father sent the Son and the Son sent us. Jesus made that statement on two occasions. In John chapter 17, he told the Father, as he is talking to the Father in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, he said, as you sent me into the world, I sent them. I told them to go do what you sent me to do. And then he told his disciples later on in John chapter 20, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I shared with you, I think, on one occasion, how I had difficulty with another person and in the church. And I was just, have you ever met anybody just like the ring your neck? And pastors meet people like that too, you know. And I was really struggling with my heart how I really needed to interact with that person because they really deserved a good neck ringing. And at least from my point of view, they did. And I was praying. And I said, Lord, how do I approach this? Because, you know, I'd really like to ring their neck, but, you know, I want to do it as I bless them, you know. And so let me ring them. Heard him, you know, not really. But anyhow, I was praying, and the Lord said, and he brought this scripture to my mind in John chapter 20, as my Father had sent me, even so send I you. And I said, well, do we have some more scripture we could look at, you know, and slay them all, not leave one breathing or something or another out of the Old Testament. But anyhow, he used that scripture. So as I did that message, that introductory, I shared with you that God has sent us as he sent his Son. The Son sent us. Secondly, as I introduced this subject to you, I shared with you the fact that because God has sent us, as He sent His Son, then we should have as our goal to accomplish, or at least to help complete the task that He was sent to do. And what was that task? Well, Paul summed it up very well in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And this is a monumental statement, guys and gals. I mean, I know you're sitting here in church, you're sitting here on preaching time, you know the preacher's got about 30 minutes or so. As soon as it's over, we're going to go have lunch. I mean, it's going to hurt. No, listen to me. Forget about what time it is. This is a monumental statement. This is why God injected His Son into history, okay? This is not just so you can get through preaching and get to the restaurant. This is so you can understand why God injected into history at this point in time His Son. Timothy was told by his mentor, Paul, he said, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. What a statement. So everything that we should be about should be to help Christ accomplish what He was sent for, because we are sent for the same thing. Thus, His purpose or reason is to save sinners. So, regardless of the priorities we identify, and I'm going to identify several priorities of Christ through this series, but regardless of the priorities that we identify, Jesus Christ's task, and consequently ours, doesn't change to save sinners. That's His purpose, to save sinners. And then we determined in that introductory message that several things. Number one, that Jesus focused on His relationship to His Father. Number two, that He prayed. Number three, that He showed love. Number four, that He demonstrated humility. Number five, that He was sinless. Number six, that He was bold about His witness. Number seven, that He was confident about His future. Number eight, that He healed people. I mean, and many other things we talked about that He did. And these things, I've come to conclude, because as I begin the series, as I always do when I do that God leads me to a subject, I always find as many authors that have written on the subject as I can that I respect. And then I'll usually tie one or two authors that I don't necessarily respect, but I feel like I might have something to say. And I read on them, and as I was doing my background reading in preparation for this, I identified these things that I just mentioned to you, but I've come to discover as I went on in depth in studying about this series that these things that we talked about on that introductory message were more or less His habits or His conduct, and they differ. They differ to some degree from His priorities. Listen to this statement. These things that He did are His habits or His conduct. What motivated Him to do these things were His priorities. And that's what I want us to get into our hearts. If we can assimilate into our lives, regardless of our age, boys and girls, men and women, regardless of our age, if we can assimilate into our lives the priorities of Jesus, guess what it's going to do? Same thing it did for Him. It's going to affect our conduct, will it not? Yes, it will. But how do we identify the priorities in His life? One of the books that I was reading, I started when I bought the book. I mean, I've spent good money for the book. And I began to read the book, and when I was thinking on the subject, it was entitled The Priorities of Jesus. And I thought, man, this guy's right on track. So I'll buy him. And one of the first things that he says is that in his introduction or the forward one, I can't remember which one it was in, he makes the statement that the purpose, our purpose in life is to help people have a good life. I wanted to throw the book in the fire. It's not our purpose in life. And of course, when he talked about the priorities of Jesus, he talked about the good conduct of Jesus. He didn't talk about the motivation of Jesus. So I haven't read the book. I'm probably not going to, because every time I pick it up, it aggravates me. So I'm probably going to just wasted money. Jesus' bottom line was the salvation of lost souls, guys. That's what it was all about. So how am I going to identify the priorities in his life? Well, let me tell you what. I chose to let him do it in his own words. How's that? It's hard to beat God identifying his own priorities. Don't you agree? So I chose to let him do that. So that's what we're going to do during this series. We're going to let him do it. Now, let me give you, let me help you understand where I'm coming from. Now, this is going to be another one of them three Sunday ago deals. If you take good notes, next Sunday when I really start to preach this message, you will know the outline and you'll be ready to say, well, I know that. Well, me and the preacher's on the same wavelength here. Seven times Jesus said, I came, or came I, and then he gives a purpose. Four times Jesus said, I am come. Four times in the Bible Jesus said, I am come, and then he states a purpose. Two times he said, I do. And then he gives an action. I do this or I do that, and he tells us what it is. But there's only one time in the Bible, now, by God's own words, by Christ's own words, these are his priorities. I came to do this. I'm come to do that. I do this. Those are priorities out of the mouth of God himself. But one time, only one time in the whole Bible, Jesus made this statement. And included in that statement was these two words, I must. It's not an option. It's not what I can. Not what I'm doing. Not what I can. I must. Jesus one time said, I must. So, when I saw that statement of Christ, to me that has to be his number one priority. Of course, I understand that God's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. I understand all that stuff because I preached a whole series on the attributes of God. I understand that about God. And I know that he's as equally present and powerful in one action or force as he is in any other. I understand that. And I understand that all of his disciples were all of his disciples as well. And I understand that he loves everybody equally. But I understand that he was closer to John than he was any of the rest of them. So I understand that God does hear things. So I think, based on that assumption, that this is Jesus' number one priority because it's the only thing that he said, I must do this. And I think it's an overarching statement to which all these other statements, I came, I do, or I am come, I believe that this overarching statement, all these other statements are subordinate to that statement, or at least they're complementary to it. This is the one that I start with today and next Sunday, which I believe is his number one priority in life. Now, let me share my sticky note with you. Let me warn you. This is on my sticky note. Let me warn you of something. If we make Jesus' priorities ours, we will be different people with a different lifestyle at the end of the year of 2013. Let me warn you up front that God's going to make a difference in your life if we make Jesus' priorities ours. Just in the preparation for this series, God has altered my life. I never have been what I am now. I started to say something else, but I can't. But I'm not yet what I'm going to be when I get through. And I'm going to be through when he calls me home. I'm convinced that I will never get grown spiritually. Never in this life, as long as I deal with this flesh. But I'm getting better every day. And part of the things that has caused me to alter my lifestyle recently has been in preparation to share with you the priorities of Jesus in his life. So you're going to be a different person. Now, if you don't want to change and you don't want to be more holy and you don't want to be more godly, then I suggest you go to another church where you can just do your church thing and your lifestyle not be bothered. Because if you stay here, God's going to change your life this year. It's interesting to me where and when this statement of Jesus was made, and the only one in which he said, I must. So, if you will take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2, I want to show you something. Now, in this passage of Scripture, as you're turning to Luke chapter 2, there are eight words or eight phrases that tell me so much about Jesus and this number one priority in his life that I believe is going to affect our lives as well. So if you want to get your pen out, I'll tell you the phrases as we go through, and you can underline them or identify them as I have in my Bible if you want to in your Bible. Luke chapter 2, and if you're able and would like to stand in honor of God's Word, I'm going to read through this passage of Scripture and try to minimize my comments as I go through, and I'll go back and deal with them later. But if you get tired and want to sit down, it's okay. But if you would stand up and honor God's Word as I read, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. Now his parents, Jesus' parents, that is, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, the 7 days that they went up to celebrate this feast of the Passover, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Why? Because a great crowd went from Nazareth up to Jerusalem, and they were all kind of together, families together, and all just kind of hanging out together. And so they all took care of each other's kids and everything. So it's not unusual that this happened. But they supposing him to have been in the company or with all the group of the families and all that were going back together, they went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. Where's Jesus? I thought you were going to bring him. I thought you guys were going to. And so they began to look for Jesus while they've gone a day's journey. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Can you imagine? Have you ever lost your child? When he or she was young in Walmart or Kmart or something like that, just for a moment lost them, and everything goes through your mind. You remember the terror that there is in that? And you may have never lost your child, but our kids are always going off somewhere. And just scared the Lord, somebody's grabbing them, Lord, and mercy, I know, So can you imagine the anxiety that Mary and Joseph must have felt as they were going back toward Jerusalem? And it came to pass that after 3 days, can you imagine this? They've looked for this kid for 3 days, and they can't find him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. Now, that's not the medical doctors. That's the PhDs and the THDs, if they had any back then, both hearing them and asking them questions. So the learned, the most learned men, the doctors of theology, they find Jesus sitting with them, asking them questions. There's your first word, asking. That's underlined. I'm going to spend some time on that word. Asking them questions, verse 47. And all that heard were astonished. There's your second word. And all that heard were astonished. That's the second word. Relative to Jesus' number one priority. At his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. There's your third word. They were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why? There's your fourth word. Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. Man, we've been beside ourselves. And he said unto them, now what is significant about this? Verse 49. Let me tell you what's significant about it. Look at me a minute. These are the very first words that God spoke on this earth that we have record of in the flesh. Isn't that something? This is the first thing. Who wrote the Bible? Men did. How did they write it? What did Paul tell Timothy? As God's Spirit moved on them. So there are different theological schools of thought about how that worked, but all conservative theologians agree that God wrote the Word and made it come alive through the instrument of men's pens. So when God wrote this record of His Son coming, He wanted everybody to understand how important it was, the very first words that are recorded that God wrote or spoke and had written and recorded. What did He say? I must be about my Father's business. 12 years old. The very first words that God said, I, at 12 years of age, must be about my Father's business. And by the way, He wasn't talking about building a table or chair or cabinet either in the carpenter shop. He was talking about His heavenly Father. Verse 50. And they understood not. Now, in verse 49, you have two of those phrases. 5 and 6. Wist ye not. And my Father's business is 5 and 6. Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. And then in verse 51, we have the 7th statement. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject. He went down with them and was subject, is that 7th statement. Unto them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased. There's your 8th one. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Lord, teach us from Your Word by Your Holy Spirit and help us to assimilate that teaching into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In these 8 words or phrases, we learn so much about Jesus and about His being about His Father's business. Now remember from last Sunday's lesson that God has a business plan, doesn't He? So when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, it fortifies the fact that we know that God has a business plan and He put it in place and in motion here on this earth. Consequently, using these 8 words or phrases, if we are to make Jesus' priorities ours, these 8 points that are shown to us through these words or phrases deserve much consideration by us, and the assimilation of them into our lives will enhance our ability to make Jesus's number one priority, our number one priority as well. Let me ask you a question. Do you want Jesus's priorities to be yours? Now, if you don't, you're going to be a mediocre Christian and you're not going to get as much out of this series as you would really like to get or need to get. But if you're willing to make Jesus' priorities yours and willing to pay the cost and willing to be used and to be blessed and listen to me and willing to have a joy that no one knows about but you and Him and no one can touch or nothing can touch, no circumstance, no event, or nothing in this life can affect, if you're willing and want to have that, then I invite you to continue with me on this journey. Number one, just briefly. Now, I won't spend as much time next Sunday on introduction as I did. I'll spend more time on the body of the message next Sunday. and give you details. So let me give you, let me just give you the 8 points. So like Tim knew last Sunday, I know where he's going here. I know, you know, I'm like some of you that had the outline. Let me give you the 8 points. And then next Sunday, and just a glimpse of them. And the next Sunday, we'll go in depth with them, okay? Number one, the first phrase. These 8 words or phrases that tell us so much about Jesus and him being about his Father's business. Verse 46 tells us that when they found him, he was in the temple with the learned men, asking them questions. There are two implications here. Number one, two implications. He's asking them questions. What does that imply? Number one, that he's learning from them. Second implication, number two, that he's teaching them through questioning them. How often does a teacher ask a pupil a question in order to lead that pupil's mind in a certain direction? There's two possibilities there. That was the first word or phrase. Second word is found in verse 47. I told you as we went through. And all that heard him, all that were in the temple that he was talking with, and all that were standing around listening, they were astonished at his understanding and his answers, verse 47. They were astonished at Jesus' understanding and his answers. Why were they so astonished at his understanding and answers? Because he was about his Father's business. And you see, when you get to be about your Father's business, you're going to be pretty astonishing to people around you. They're going to be amazed at some of the things that you think and say and understand. And if we are like Jesus, our spiritual depth should astonish other people. Let me ask you, what astonishes other people about you? Does your spiritual depth astonish other people? Wow, man, that's amazing. So often when they look at me and say, man, that's amazing, it's not talking about my spiritual depth. It's talking about my stupidity or something else. Third phrase says in verse 48 that when they saw him, they were amazed. This is talking about his mom and dad. This is talking about his family here now. Probably his brothers were with him as well. And they can you imagine that? Can you imagine Mary? Can you imagine being Jesus' younger brother? Can you imagine having Jesus thrown up to you? I mean, this is God. Your older brother's God, and he's perfect. He never says it's his mama. He never lies. He never steals. And here you are, just a plain old kid, and you're forgetting in fights, and you're lying, and you're stealing. Why can't you be more like Jesus? What's wrong with you? I know some people don't believe that Jesus had, Mary had any more children, but the Bible says she did. Jesus had brothers. It's just amazing. They were astonished at his understanding and his answers. We'll talk more about that next week. Number three. They were amazed at him, his mom, the astonishment at his spiritual maturity. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. Number four is found in verse 48 as well. His mom said, why have you dealt so with us, son? Why have you dealt with us? Oh, I'm going to spend a lot of time on that next Sunday. Let me just make this statement before I go to number five. Nobody got the statement. It's on this page. I just finished the page. I'll be ready for the next one. Mom and Dad, listen. It's not about you. Brother, sister, it's not about you. Today, for me, as much as I love Barbara, y'all know that I worship the ground she walks on just about. If it wasn't unholy, it wasn't. I mean, she's the grandest thing that's ever happened to me. I think she's the best person that's ever lived on this earth. But it's not about her in my life. It's about him. That's what Jesus was saying. Mom and Dad, I want you to understand. I love you. I respect you. I revere you. I'll do anything you tell me to do. But I want you to understand, Mom and Dad, 12 years of age, it's not about you. That's what he was saying. That's part of what made him be about the Father's business, how that's going to affect our lives. Number five, verse 49. Wished ye not? Don't you guys understand? Talking to his mom and dad. Don't you guys understand? Don't you know? Don't you understand? There are going to be times, friends, and I'll talk more about this next Sunday, that your family is not going to understand what you're doing for the Lord. I know a woman that left her husband because he gave, every time he got to give him something, he'd give it away. And she couldn't stand it. She left him. He was a preacher. And he just couldn't help but give things away. And she left him. Don't you understand? Talk more about that next Sunday, about more of my preacher voice too. Number six, Jesus said, don't you understand, Mom and Dad? I have to be about my father's business. What's his father's business? Saving sinners. I'll talk a little bit about that, but I've already talked about it, and I'm going to talk more about it. And then number seven, I want you to notice 51. You understand that because of the statement that Jesus made in verse 48 and 49, verse 51 had to be put in the Bible so you could think, so you would know that God respected his mom and his dad, his earthly mom and dad. He went down with them to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. What does that mean? It means he minded, he did what his mom and dad told him to do. In Nazareth, of all places. We'll talk more about Nazareth next Sunday. I'm going to spend a week in Nazareth next month. But we'll talk more about Nazareth next Sunday. He went down. There's so much there in that one. And it speaks of a great condition in our lives. And then the last one, number eight, is verse 52. And it says that Jesus increased. That's the word. As we went through. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is connected to Jesus' number one priority, and as a result of his number one priority, he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. If you want to increase in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man, then it goes without saying that it's connected with you making Jesus' number one priority, your number one priority, being about the Father's business. There is so much underneath this little tip of the iceberg that I've shared with you this morning that I'll share about, that I'll share more with you next Sunday. Let me say this, and I'll use this again next Sunday, but let me close with this. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and Jesus says in verse 1, those of you that have not seen me face to face, I'm writing this to you to let you know just how hard I pray. I mean, I'm really agonizing spirit for you. And listen to what he says, I'm praying for you, those that have not seen me face to face. That their hearts, listen to this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Listen to this. This is what I'm really praying, Paul says. And I'm going to give you a chronology of 800 plus years next Sunday about how what brought Paul to this point and what brought Jesus to this point at 12 years of age and what's going to bring you to this same point by the end of 2013. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the Bible says in verse 52 of Luke chapter 2 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And Paul prayed, I pray that every one of you will be just like Jesus was. And Jesus said, as my Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. I hope that you'll share your time with me next Sunday so I can give you some depth in the doctrine that's involved in this passage of Scripture. Would you bow your heads? Yeah, Linda, if you'll come and play. And I think today would just be a good day for us to just make some, in our own heart, some commitments to take these things that are involved in Jesus' life and that are connected with his statement about his number one priority in his life and seek how God would have me to incorporate that into my life. And as we look at it more in depth next Sunday, I didn't do any application this morning. But next Sunday, I'm going to take all eight of these things that Jesus did that are connected with his priorities, number one priority in life. And I'm going to make an application in our lives every Sunday. What does this mean to me, okay? So Jesus, they asked him questions. How do I apply that to my life? What's the application there? Jesus grew in stature and wisdom and knowledge. How do I apply that to my life? And I want to make application of all that next Sunday. So this morning, I just asked for a commitment on your part, if you're willing, to begin to let Jesus' priorities be yours. Then right where you're sitting, in your seat, as I pray for you this morning, I want you just to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I am this morning. I'm willing to let you make your priorities mine in my life. Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift myself and this congregation up to you. And Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, as many here, no more, we're not many here this morning that are gathered, Father, but we're here and we're your children, many of us. Most of us, in fact, I think. And so I pray this morning, Lord, as we release our lives, our purposes, our wills, our goals, our possessions to you, Lord, and choose to begin making your priorities ours. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us because the reality is, Lord, without your help, we can't do that. We can willfully make a choice, but we can't do it. But with your help, we can. So, Father, this morning, strengthen us, God, with resolve as we open our lives and our hearts to you. And we make a choice to be the person you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? While we continue to, while Linda continues to play, if God's spoken to your heart in some way, and you need to come to the altar for prayer, for yourself, for someone, or commitment, for salvation, this morning I invite you to come while she plays. Anyone, you're welcome. The altar is open. I'll be glad to pray with you. Our deacons will, the ladies will, so if you need to come to prayer, don't hesitate. You're welcome. All is open. Thank you, Linda. Word on anyone's heart? Before we go this morning, thank you for being here. It's sweet of you to come today on a day like today. It's a pleasure to have you. And yet you come to church. That speaks so well of your relationship to the Lord already. And I'm so thankful. Anyone have a word? Pray for Tommy, too.
I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer. But Tommy's really having some major, and I know y'all know about some issues with his back. So I want you to pray for him. That God would just help get everything straightened out there.
You're feeling like a teenager again. Ain't going to happen, Tommy, but at least your back can stop hurting, okay? Close us in prayer if you would. Thank you, folks. Remember, be here at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to ride together, carpool together, ride the van over to First Baptist.